Welcome back into the program. Another week has begun. Week 3 is now complete in the college football season, and we're ready to make our way toward Week 4. But before we do so, we have, of course, the full complement of guests this week. The college football professor coming up tomorrow, Robert McElroy on Wednesday, David Sears on Friday, and who knows who else may join us this week and give their insight on what is going on in college football so far. Great to have you with us. Welcome back in on this Monday. Let's start right off with what I thought was the game of the week in terms of BCS standings for sure, and that was Oklahoma playing Florida State, a top five matchup, and it was Oklahoma who got the better of the Seminoles. And just as it was predicted here by several people, including myself last week, Oklahoma was just too much for Florida State. A nice defensive struggle, a good game to watch, but Florida State in the end couldn't keep up with Oklahoma. That in the end was the deciding factor, and you have to give credit to Oklahoma. Landry Jones was 18 out of 27 for 199 yards, a touchdown, but he also had two interceptions, and that has been his Achilles heel when he goes on the road, is throwing interceptions. From the SEC, the game of the week was Tennessee and Florida. It was said right here last week that this game would be a huge game in terms of the race for the SEC East Championship, see who could come represent that division in Atlanta. And this, of course, being two of the top teams now that Georgia is really out of the picture. It's South Carolina, Florida, and Tennessee left that have a legitimate shot, or at least we think. We'll get to another program that may have a shot in a few minutes. But Florida had their way with Tennessee. They were up at 30-7 on the Volunteers, only to see Tennessee come back and make it a competitive game. But Florida was able to get the 10-point victory, 33-23. And you have to give head coach Will Muschamp a lot of credit. I know that Florida probably has much more talent than Tennessee and the ability to make explosive plays and win the game, but Tennessee hung in there close, and this was a big ball game for both teams, including Florida. You might have seen a few growing pains. You might have seen a little nervous nature from the Gators coming out of the tunnel as they played in their biggest game this year by far, but there was none of that. Will Muschamp had his team ready to play, and they came out and hit Tennessee in the mouth from play one. And yes, they didn't finish as probably strong as Gator fans would like, but I think you have a lot to build on now if you're Will Muschamp and you're 3-0 now, heading into Lexington, Kentucky with a big matchup there, and then, of course, back home for the Alabama game in 2 weeks. So a lot to play for if you're Florida, and a very good start. I believe it's down to Florida and South Carolina for the SEC East, and both of them look really good. Boise State was able to get the 40-15 win over Toledo. We did not have a show after that game had completed, of course, so they just keep on rolling, and nobody really thought Toledo was going to give them any challenge. And who's standing in Boise State's way now from making it another year where they sneak into that BCS conversation? We'll talk much more about that, I am sure, later on as we progress through the year. Michigan, 31-3 win over Eastern Michigan. No surprise there. How about West Virginia, Maryland? I said West Virginia would win. I thought it would be by a wider margin than it was, but they were able to get the 37-31 win over Maryland. A nice game for both teams. Maryland came back and made it a little bit more competitive than it was early on, but West Virginia, led by Geno Smith, of course, had a nice day and a great win. I mean, you go on the road and play a team like Maryland, maybe they are a middle-of-the-pack ACC team, but it's still a nice win for Geno Smith and Dana Holgerson's West Virginia team, which is now 3-0. Although, I don't know that they'll be undefeated after next week, as they, of course, welcome the LSU Tigers into Morgantown. Much more on that game as we continue on this week. Auburn, the defending national champs, winners of 17 straight coming into the last weekend, finally suffered a loss as they traveled to Clemson, and Dabo Swinney's squad was able to grab victory at home against the defending national champs. A huge win for Clemson, and Auburn gave up over 600 yards on defense. Definitely a glaring statistic, and I don't know what is going on with their defense, but they need to get it figured out, and soon, because yes, they do play Florida Atlantic next week, but after that, it is going to be a rigorous SEC schedule, playing at the likes of South Carolina, Arkansas, and LSU, and then welcoming Florida into Jordan Hare Stadium. So lots more to come for the Auburn Tigers. They got to get their problems corrected, and there are many of them, immediately. Georgia Tech with a 66-24 victory over Kansas in the game that seemingly had no defense. TCU with a 38-17 victory over Louisiana Monroe. Wisconsin continues just knocking off these third-rate teams. They beat Northern Illinois 49-7. Oregon with another record day points-wise. Well, not really, but close to it. 56-7 win over Missouri State. Nebraska in a shootout with Washington. At one point, this game was tied late in the game, but Nebraska was able to get the 13-point victory, and a nice victory. I mean, Washington is a little bit more improved this year. They fall to 2-1. Nebraska, number 9, now is 3-0 as they get the 51-38 victory. And in not this week, but the next, they will be playing that game against Wisconsin that a lot of people have circled as one of the premier matchups, I know I do, in the Big Ten. So we'll talk more about that as it nears time for that game. Texas with a 49-20 win over UCLA. A lot of revenge for last year as UCLA actually upended Texas on their way to the Longhorns' disastrous season. Virginia Tech with a 26-7 victory over Arkansas State. How about South Carolina struggling with Navy? What in the world is going on with South Carolina this year? They struggle with East Carolina. They were getting beat badly in the early part of that game. They beat Georgia, but it was a come-from-behind victory over a defensive forced fumble. And now they play the Midshipmen. And a lot of people that I heard from in South Carolina thought they should have lost this game. They said Navy really took it to South Carolina in the early going, and South Carolina had to fight and claw their way back for the victory. But that's what good teams do, even when they are faced with adversity. But my point is this: how many weeks are you going to face adversity over teams you shouldn't even be struggling with? I mean, East Carolina and Navy should be no-brainers for South Carolina, and they had problems with each of them. So what are they going to do next week when they play Vanderbilt at home? That's going to be a very interesting game. South Florida with a 70-17 win over Florida A&M. No problem with them. Texas A&M 37-7 over Idaho. How about Baylor? 48-0 over Stephen F. Austin. They continue to roll on. They play Rice next. Illinois with a 17-14 victory in my upset of the weekend. I had the Illini beating Arizona State because Arizona State was ranked after their big win over Missouri the week previous. Well, Illinois is now ranked. They are number 24 because they have started 3-0 as they await their game against Michigan, which is this weekend. Western Michigan, I'm sorry, this weekend. But Illinois 3-0 now going into this Western Michigan game, entering conference play, and they are now ranked in the top 25. Great job, great start by Ron Zook's squad, but they have to finish, and they have a lot more to go, certainly, than just beating Arizona State, but that's a good start. Arkansas with a 38-28 victory over Troy. I can imagine that Arkansas was probably looking slightly ahead to their matchup against Alabama in Tuscaloosa this coming week, and probably didn't take Troy for all they were worth, but nonetheless, the Hogs were able to eke out a 10-point victory over the Trojans. Alabama 41-0 over North Texas, and USC was able to get the win over Syracuse, and they improved now to 3-0, and they are number 23 in the AP poll. They win that game 38-17. Solid win for USC. They continue to plug along. Probably a top contender in the Pac-12, but of course they can't participate in postseason play of any kind. Oklahoma State 59-33. They were a winner over Tulsa, and Tulsa's the kind of team, and they didn't give Oklahoma problems, but who has? And Tulsa, gave Oklahoma State a little issue on offense. They were able to score some points. They put up 33 on the Cowboys, but Oklahoma State looking very impressive as they are now 3-0. Win that game 59-33. And how about Oklahoma State at Texas A&M this weekend? A big matchup for the Big 12, and we will talk more about that as that game nears. Stanford in the late game, and I said this was going to be an interesting game, and it was, but Stanford, no problem. 27-point victory as they beat Arizona 37-10. And that just shows you that Stanford is on the right track. They didn't miss a beat. And Andrew Luck was 20 of 31 for 325 yards passing, along with two touchdowns to accompany his play. Nice play there in Arizona. Nice road win for the Cardinal. Now let's focus in on the SEC. We talked about it the other day, but LSU, of course, had a 19-6 victory over Mississippi State. No surprise there. We'll talk a little bit more about Auburn's game as they suffer their first loss in 18 games in a minute. We'll talk more about that. How about this one, folks? Did I tell you or did I tell you? Before the season, I had Vanderbilt going to a bowl, and I got several messages and tweets and all kinds of things from people saying that I was crazy, that Vanderbilt's got a new coach, and there's no way they can be that improved this year, and that they'll win the first game and then tank after that. Well, they are now 3-0. They beat Elon, of course, in the week one. They beat UConn, which is a quality non-conference team. They beat them by a field goal. And then Saturday, at home, against Ole Miss, the power that Ole Miss is, well, maybe not, but Vanderbilt, regardless of how good Ole Miss is, they're an SEC team, and Vanderbilt beat them at home 30-7. And it, you know, it should have been 30-0. I watched most of this game, and Vanderbilt should have had a 30-0 win, but they gave up a late touchdown. But they should have had a 30-0 win. Just an obliteration of what used to be a pretty quality, well, at one time was a pretty quality SEC program back when David Cutcliffe was the coach. But since then, they have fallen a long way. Whether it was Ed Orgeron's questionable coaching, and now Houston Nutt. And I wrote about this last year. I said it's only going to get worse if Houston Nutt is allowed to continue as the head coach of Ole Miss, and it has. It's gotten much worse. You're now getting blown out by Vanderbilt. Ole Miss has now lost to Brigham Young because they fumbled several times at the end of the game. They beat Southern Illinois by not a whole lot, and they've lost to Vanderbilt 30-7. So Ole Miss is in trouble is much of an understatement here. Ole Miss has serious issues, and I don't look for them to do anything this year as they play next Georgia in Oxford. That's a home game for them. That'll be the game of the coaches with their jobs on the line, but something tells me Mark Richt is a little bit more serious of a situation than Houston Nutt. I think Houston Nutt's probably done. It's just a question now of whether he will coach the rest of the year or not. But Vanderbilt, let's talk about them for a minute. They look very, very good in three games of play. Larry Smith, the quarterback, was 13 of 20 for 103 yards passing. But it wasn't Larry Smith that really provided the spark for Vanderbilt in this game. It was the defense. Trey Wilson, a junior defensive back for Vanderbilt, intercepted two Ole Miss passes and returned one for a 52-yard touchdown. And it was actually Wilson's second interception returned for a touchdown this season. The other one came against Elon. And Vanderbilt held Ole Miss to just 234 offensive yards, including just 85 on the ground. And Ole Miss did have 93 of its 149 passing yards in the fourth quarter. So Vanderbilt doing an excellent job of playing defense. And if you're a Vanderbilt fan, which I don't know how many of you there are out there, but if you are a Vanderbilt fan, you have to be enthused about the job James Franklin is doing in just his third game as the Vanderbilt head coach. And now the Commodores travel to Columbia. And I said we would talk about this, and we are. They play South Carolina, and this South Carolina team has struggled with East Carolina. They barely beat Georgia, if not for defensive heroics by Jadeveon Clowney. They struggled with Navy, but was able to pull out an improbable three-point victory. Now they are playing Vanderbilt, and who do you think has more momentum coming into this game? A team that has struggled with two second-tier teams like South Carolina, or a team that has beaten two teams that in years past they wouldn't have even been considered as competitive games for Vanderbilt, and that of course being Connecticut and Ole Miss. So I think Vanderbilt is riding a tidal wave as they go into Columbia. It will be a very interesting game. this coming weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing it and seeing how South Carolina plans to stop Larry Smith and that Vanderbilt attack, and seeing how Vanderbilt's defense, which seems to be their strength, contains South Carolina. Because if you want to look at the biggest issue for South Carolina right now, it's offensive productivity. It's awful. They can't get anything done. Marcus Lattimore, it seems like he's not, the holes aren't there for him to run through like they were a year ago. Now, we'll see if that improves as they head into more of Southeastern Conference play. And then Steven Garcia, who knows whether he's going to have a good day or not. It's just luck of the draw. So right now, I think Vanderbilt's defense against South Carolina can cause them some major problems. And I also think that the Vanderbilt offensive attack, led by Larry Smith, can penetrate that South Carolina defense. But I think it'll be a low-scoring game, and it'll be interesting to see Vanderbilt in South Carolina this coming weekend, a game that a lot of people probably before the season said that game will not amount to anything, and now looks like it's pretty important. Vanderbilt, if they win that game, they're all of a sudden a legitimate contender for the SEC East. As they head into their off week, they will be 4-0, and at that point, you got to think that they have a good shot at getting to a bowl. We'll see. They do have to play Alabama next, which could be another interesting game. It could be interesting for Alabama, too. We'll just have to see. Kentucky, I mentioned last week they struggle with Central Michigan. Well, this week, not only did they struggle with Louisville, they lost to Louisville. I mean, what has happened to Kentucky? Kentucky was in Vanderbilt. I guess Vanderbilt has assumed their spot as being the contender from the lower tier in the SEC East, but Kentucky used to win these kind of games with ease. And I mean used to. I'm talking about in the last couple of years. They've been to 5 straight bowl games. It's an incredible stat for a program like Kentucky. But what has happened? They have fallen off the map. They struggled with Central Michigan last week. We all saw the game against Western Kentucky in which they looked really bad in that one. And now they are getting beaten by Louisville. I mean, let's not overdo it. Louisville, there is nothing good about this Louisville team, but it looks like Kentucky's worse. And that's the unfortunate thing, because Kentucky has been good in previous years. They've been able to stay competitive in the SEC East. Of course, they've never won the Eastern Division since that SEC championship game has been played, but they have been competitive the last 5 years. They've been to 5 straight bowl games. So obviously Kentucky needs to do some soul searching, and they need to do it quickly, because they have some big games coming up, including one this weekend against Florida. That is going to be, a lot of people thought this may be an upset opportunity as a young Florida team travels into Lexington. I don't know. It may just be a routine scrimmage for the Gators at this point. Kentucky Wildcats were not very impressive in their first 2 performances, and now they have dropped the game to their arch rival Louisville. So all in all, the SEC had an interesting week, and we'll talk more about it as we continue. But the schedule for this upcoming week is this: the SEC Network game for early in the day is going to be Georgia at Ole Miss. Arkansas at Alabama is going to be the game on CBS at 2:30 Central. Florida at Kentucky is going to be on ESPN. That's going to be the primetime game on the Worldwide Leader. Vanderbilt, South Carolina is going to be opposite that game on ESPN2. Florida Atlantic at Auburn will be on Fox Sports Net at 7 o'clock if you want to watch that one. Louisiana Tech at Mississippi State, 7 o'clock ESPNU. So the SEC dominating ESPN's airwaves, whether it's ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, and then how about ABC also have an SEC game on at that time as well. The primetime game is going to be LSU at West Virginia. So the SEC getting a lot of attention Saturday night, that's for sure. And then, of course, the big game is Saturday afternoon, Arkansas traveling to Tuscaloosa to play the Crimson Tide. Notre Dame at Pittsburgh is going to be on ABC on the afternoon. Any other notable games? Looking here now, Missouri plays Oklahoma on the FX Game of the Week. We'll see if Missouri can give Oklahoma any issues. There are some other games, and we'll get to them as the week continues. Colorado plays at Ohio State, and that's another game we didn't get to, but how about Miami? beating Ohio State handily this week in the battle of probation. And I thought, I really thought Ohio State had a better team. I thought they had better players than Miami, and they would win the game. But Ja'Cory Harris coming back for the Canes must have been a big deal, because I didn't get to see the game, but Miami took care of Ohio State, and you have to give credit to Al Golden and his team. They showed up to play and won a big-time game. And Ohio State, well, in addition to having scandal after scandal break on their front, they are now eliminated from any type of legitimate championship contention. Now, that does not impact their Big Ten chances. We'll see how they do in the conference. Something tells me they won't be, at the end of the year, involved in that either. So we'll just have to see what happens to the Buckeyes as Luke Fickell tries to keep the entire program from falling apart there in Columbus. But anyway, that's a recap of Week 3 in college football. We'll be back tomorrow with the college football professor to talk about what he noticed from this past weekend and what we will see this coming weekend as many more top 25 games and SEC games get kicked off. So we're just getting started, and we're just through the first 3 weeks of the college football season, and already much to talk about. But now we get into the big-time conference games that everybody's going to be looking toward, and the tests get greater for all teams across the board, so it'll be fun to watch. Much more to come on the Bun Sports Show. Stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow.